Guess who's back? Back again. Kev is back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? My worst ever Eminem.
Hey, it'll do. It'll do. Don't worry about that. What an intro.
Welcome back to the show, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell.
Boom.
We've missed you. We have missed you, Casey.
Well, listen, I've missed you. It's been a couple of days.
Yes.
And you know what? They say absence makes the heart grow fonder. So I've missed you, Sophie. Yeah. And I've missed you, squaddies and everybody in the chat. How you doing?
Maybe even Newman has missed you, Kevin. I'm not sure. But
I don't know about Newman. I know he's a good lad, but I'm not sure if he...
Kev says, Newman, you're fine.
Oh, jeez. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't fire you, Newman. I wouldn't fire you, mate.
He's been moonlighting. He's been working hard. He's actually been... I'm going to post something tomorrow, so I won't say anything about it because it's on an Easter egg. I'm going to say nothing. So I'm just going to say I'll post something tomorrow and you'll see what Kev's been up to.
You'll
Good
enjoy
evening.
It.
There's one legend on this show. The other one is just
is me. The other one is me. There's one legend. That's the main lady, Sophie. We know that.
Well, look, let's get stuck right into this, Kevin. A lot's happened.
Yes.
We beat Leicester. Can't wait to hear what you say. You've got some great topics for the gang tonight. Mm-hmm. How about we just get stuck right into it? This show is brought to you by footballprizes.co.uk. Don't forget, get your ticket for that Kieran Tierney shirt. We'll tell you a little bit more about that at the end of the show. Thank you to Football Prizes for their support and for this episode tonight of Kevin Says. Right, kids, are you ready?
Hello, everybody. This is Kev Says Part 20. And it's after the Leicester game. So I just want to say my three questions and then we can get to it in the chat. So, number one is, do you think Mikel Arteta is starting to get a grip of the squad? Not only a grip of the squad, but in their head as well. Because, let's be honest, we have questioned the attitude of the team. And it would have been the easy one. As Princess Guna always says, we never win after a 12 o'clock kickoff when it's an early one. But we did, especially after going a goal down. So that's question number one.
All right, you guys, let's get stuck in right now. Do you know what I love most about our squaddies, Kev, is that they all check in on each other. They're all
Well, do you know what, Soph? What I would say is, I think it's because of the lockdown that, you know, you tend to find a certain group look out for each other. Mm-hmm. And it seems like we've got that group, which is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, look at this. Good analysis on Astro Sports on Sunday, KC, with Tony Adams.
Hey,
cat's out of the bag now.
Hey.
And look, oh, well, 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 look what we have here. Lol, I join and KC mentions me. He misses me so much.
Swiftly moving on.
All right, let's go to Zamir. Here we go. Only time will tell, Kev. We can beat Leicester, but can we follow up and win versus Burnley, versus Olympiacos over both legs, and Spurs, of course, in the North London derby? Mikel Arteta, apparently as a player and, of course, as a manager, has never beaten Jose Mourinho, but records are there to be broken, Kevin. I said this on the show the other night. It's all well and good stringing these games together, scoring a hat-trick against Leeds for Aubameyang, beating Leeds, and then moving on. We've got to have that consistency. What do you think about what Zamir says? I think it holds weight.
He makes a great point, to be fair. Time will tell. And we know we've pinned our hopes on this team earlier on in the season and they've let us down badly. You know, I keep driving everybody mad saying it's the players when they cross the white line. We've seen the players step up. We've seen more of the experienced players step up and we get a couple of wins. But we need that every week. We really do. We need that every week. So time will tell, Zamir.
Okay. Let's go back to Sherlock Holmes, one of our favourite screen names of all. Yes, KC, seems like they're all starting to sing from the same sheet. I would say yes, but it's too sporadic. And mm-hmm. the one thing I think in that Leicester game, Kevin, that I was saying on the post-game show was that he made six changes against a Leicester team that's been lauded all season. That we've heard that Jamie Vardy's the best. James Maddison's ready for England. Brendan Rodgers is ready to coach Barcelona. They could win the Premier League. We make six changes, especially the front four, completely different, have not played together all season. And somehow in this game, he did have them singing from the same hymn sheet. But I'm going to challenge you on this question to kind of switch what Sherlock is saying. You always say it's the players. When we do well, he seems to get all the credit. Can we credit the players? Talk me through that a little bit.
No, I think the players got the credit. I truly believe the likes of Pepe and Willian got the just deserves. They deserve because they performed. I think Arsenal fans are sometimes harsh, but I think Arsenal fans are fair. You know, when a player plays well, I think Arsenal fans are happy to say, even though they might say it through gritted teeth, that he played well. And Willian did play well. He had got a couple of assists. And I think his passer rating was like 94%. He was the highest on the pitch. So when he does play well, and when Pepe does play well, and when Granit Xhaka stops messing around, giving the first goal away, you know, getting trapped on the line, and he sits in the centre of the pitch, all of a sudden, we look a much better team when a lot of the experienced players turn up. But that's our problem, Sophie.
You've talked about that a lot in terms of the Sakas and the ESRs and the Tierneys of the world carrying the team. But it felt like at the weekend, the senior players turned up. And you're right about that, Kev. I want to get to this comment from Mars Gunner for you. Mm-hmm. After the clear out, there's only one voice in the dressing room and they're listening to it. What do you think about that? Do you think that's what's been the change and the evolution?
Sophie, I think that is a really great point. And that's the reason why I actually asked the question. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm going to summarize at the end.
Yes.
But Mikel Arteta needed to get resting the power away from these guys, that little group of guys in the dressing room who can turn a couple of heads, who could unsettle certain players just because of their presence. They need to be out, and he's got them out, and all of a sudden now, and yeah, it is a couple of games, I agree, and we need to see it week in, week out, but hopefully this is a turning of the corner, and Mikel Arteta has got into their head now and has got a grip of them, and they know what they're doing, and they're committed to it now with a bit of luck.
And Kev, Pep's the boss in his dressing room. Klopp is the boss in his dressing room. You know, we've seen, you know, Tuchel completely. I don't care what people can look at the data and the analytics, but Tuchel's made a difference to Chelsea. He knows, the players know that he's the boss in that dressing room. Brendan Rodgers has a command in his dressing room. It's so important to have that ownership in the dressing room. And you being a player absolutely know that. I know we joke around with Newman a lot, but I wanted to put this up because I actually disputed this the other night and I'd love your view on it, Kev. I think this is a major excuse. Every team at this point has injuries. Liverpool, decimated with injuries. Everton have been through injuries. Arsenal have had injuries. We rested Saka. Partey's been injured. Okay, we've had injuries at the back. Gabriel had COVID. When we started this game against them, there was no Aubameyang. There was no Saka. There was no Partey. We made six changes.
No Gabriel.
They didn't have Maddison. And I think that this is a bit of an excuse. Do you agree with me on this one, Kev?
Sophie, I don't tend to agree with you, but I agree with you on this one, love. I agree with Newman. What are you talking about? Let me tell you something, Newman. And let me tell you something good. When Arsenal are struggling, Sophie, nobody gives us the opportunity. Nobody says, oh, but they've got this one out and that one out and this one's misfiring. Nonsense. Leicester could have gone second in the table. They took the lead.
Yes.
They still had most of their team playing. And if there's injuries, you got to deal with it like everybody has to. So I don't want to hear about, oh, this one's injured, all the crybaby stuff, Newman. Move that from here.
I agree.
You beat them fair and square.
Look at Man City have dominated without De Bruyne mostly.
And Aguero.
Let's not make excuses. And let's remember at the beginning of the season, everyone was mocking City for poor purchases in the defence. And now you've got Diaz and Stones playing well together. I'm sorry, every team has to overcome adversity at some point in the season. Mm-hmm. And in this game, I think, you know, let's call it as we see it. Let's get to Xander for you, KC. Since the Chelsea game, it's clear Arteta's finally got the team ticking and the three losses we had is self-inflicted. Still lots of work to do. Do you think they were self-inflicted, Kev? Mistakes, Wolves? Villa, yeah, those kinds of games. I think Villa beat us fair and square, but help me understand this one.
No, but it was a mistake. Do you remember the mistake?
In the
Cedric left the ball short first.
Yeah, he did.
And then the Traore went out the side, crossed it, and there was Ollie Watkins on his own in front of our net and Holding had backed off. So Sterling's goal, you know. Sterling's one of the smallest guys on the pitch gets a free header in our 6 yard. But you know, this is stuff that cannot happen, shouldn't happen. And again, against Leicester, although we won the game, what do? We shoot ourselves in the foot, you know, getting trapped on the touchline. And then, you know, them going through and Pablo Mari, I don't know, he was backing off. Jeez, he must have had his braces stuck in the net because he backed off that much. He must have wanted to go off.
Kev,
yeah,
I've been waiting to talk to you about that goal. Jesus Christ. I know that there was a mistake, Willian, a combination of Willian and Xhaka at first, but then Mari, but then Tielemans running on the right, Tierney even backing off. But like the holding thing, were they marking the space or the player? They all got caught in the space in the end. It was a debacle.
Here's the thing, Sophie. If you watch it, could you remember I said this probably about 2 months ago? I don't like Xhaka being in that left back spot. I don't like him in there. Because what happens is Xhaka goes there and Kieran Tierney has to move up the pitch because he can't be beside him. The problem is that when Xhaka loses the ball, he can't get back. You know, he can't get back on the recovery. So Tielemans, they trap us, which is a good trap, a good press, and they trap us. Tielemans starts heading towards our box. But what Pablo Mari does is basic defending. Nearest man goes to the ball. You cannot let him travel all that way and then have a shot and it ends up in the box. You've got to go out to him, and I can't believe Leno let him do it. That's the other thing.
But Leno was caught between a rock and a hard place a little bit, wasn't he, Kev? Because he could see when Tielemans was coming on that right flank, he could see there was a gaping. I mean, the space was ridiculous. And they were almost backing. And Leno was kind of caught between, do I come out or do I stay in the 6 yard box?
Sophie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please, anybody, please watch that goal again. Pablo Mari backs off so far. He goes past Leno. So Leno's the only one there. And the ball gets put in the bottom corner.
But that's not right. But it's not Leno's fault. Yeah, like you said,
I'm not saying it's Leno. I'm not saying it's Leno's fault.
Okay.
What I'm saying is Leno, through his voice, has to control Pablo Mari.
Okay.
Go and get tight to him. Get out to the ball.
He's not vocal enough.
Well, I don't know if he said it, but I'm telling you now, Dave Seaman, the goalie, would have been, all right, get out to the ball. He would have been pressed. So he wouldn't have shot. He would have probably looked to take him on, which you have a better chance, or he would have looked to pass it where we could get the...
Fair enough. And you know better than I do. All I saw in that goal, Casey, I was screaming at the TV, close him down, close him down, close him down. Even I mean, I've coached AYSO and I've played like women's football. I didn't make it. I did have a trial, but I didn't make it because I was too small at the time, Kevin. Mm. It was before the Messi era.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just screaming at the TV, close him down, close him down. And then it was like he had all the time in the world. And it was at that point, I think we feared the worst. I think we all feared like, oh, this could be a 3-4, you know, nil defeat or whatever. I want to get to Michael's comment.
Sophie, hold on a minute.
Yes, Casey.
And if you remember, after they scored, Leno nearly gave them another one.
Yeah, he did. But then after that, he had no problems.
Yeah, we settled right down and we took the game to them. Yeah.
And we overcame adversity again, didn't we?
Yes.
Went down to Benfica, had to score 2 goals in Europe, came back. Went down to Leicester, a team that's been lauded all season that could potentially win the Premier League. We came back and we shamed them in their own backyard. We bitch slapped them. Let's be honest.
We dealt with them.
Properly. What did we do, Casey? You said crack the neck. What did we do?
Listen, we put our foot on the neck and then as soon as they started to wriggle, crack the neck.
All right, here we go, Michael. Arteta definitely has a grip on this squad. He knows exactly what he wants. If they aren't giving him what he wants, not what the fans think he wants. I mean, no manager should ever manage based on what the fans think. Let's be honest about that. They don't play. He's been ruthless. Mm-hmm. We've seen that. He has played favourites, but we're not going to talk about that right now.
We're going to get to that a little bit with one of your next questions, okay?
Because I want to save that one. But I'm going to get your comment on this too. Are they giving him what they're listening? Are they listening, Kevin? I think that's what Michael's getting to here.
Yeah, that's what getting a grip of this squad. Mm-hmm. That's why I asked the question, because all of a sudden, and let's be honest, Sophie, me and you have argued, we've argued with PG about this squad all season because they're up and down and up and down. Finally, 2 games of adversity and 2 responses. Normally, we wouldn't be getting anywhere the response that we got in the last couple of games. So that's why I asked the question, do you think he's getting a grip of them? And yeah, it's not where we want to be, that's for sure. But I think now it's starting to sink in a little bit. I'd like to think so, because you know what? This team could go on a run. I'm not saying we are, but we could go on another run. You win 4 or 5 games in the spin. I'm telling you, you could be anywhere in this league.
Yeah, you could. What do you think about... Hi, Bernadette. How are you? We hope you're well. The players have showed balls in the last 2 games. You know what? One of the things we've always said about Arsenal Football Club, Kevin, is mental impotence.
Yes.
Lacking mental. When we go down, we capitulate and we can't find a way back. Benfica, Leicester. You know, it takes step by step by step. What do you think about Bernadette's comment here about...
Great point. And listen, we've been. I feel it's personal when an Arsenal team hasn't got the cojones or the balls. Mm-hmm. You know, when adversity comes, because we're used to seeing our teams have bollocks, have that fight in them, and I'm so pleased that they've shown the fight because it gives the fans a little bit more hope. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, we want to win the Europa League. Of course we do. We want to finish as high in the league as we can. And the players have to show that they mean business and they want it. Now, all of the cup finals are coming up. They've got to show that they want it more than the opposition. And we're going to find out who is committed to this football club.
Cool. Let's see. GB here. Kev, can you tell defenders and midfielders that lack pace when their team isn't in possession, treat the wide areas like non-swimmers treat the deep end? They want to stick central, Elneny and Mari. What do you think about that?
Look, we've seen Pablo Mari. There was an opportunity there for Jamie Vardy in the second half to run him. Pablo Mari dealt with him. Pablo Mari doesn't like to go too wide in the wide areas without cover. And maybe that's why he started backing off. But that's for Leno to... No, get out to the ball. Get out to the ball. He's got to control him with his voice. But the likes of Xhaka, that's why I don't want him anywhere near that left back spot, because that's where people expose you.
Is that part of the philosophy on the tactics, that Xhaka has to cover that area, Kevin? Can you help me understand that a little bit? Or is he just chasing what's happening at that moment in the game?
No, I think he feels comfortable moving into that position. And obviously it pushes Kieran Tierney up. So they're looking at that as a good platform to build. Xhaka gets it, gives it to William, gets it back, then he could go back. So it's you're drawing them in to move it around. But the problem was they trapped us. Mm-hmm. They trapped us and won the ball in that wide area. Kieran Tierney's up the pitch. He's never going to get back, so no matter how quick he is, he's never going to get back. Mm-hmm. So that leaves it to Pablo Mari to be the first player to come out, and Granit Xhaka to get back at Tielemans. And there's no chance of Granit Xhaka getting back at Tielemans.
No, there isn't.
Let's be honest.
I'd like to get to Venkatesh's comment here. Thanks for joining us. You guys are listening to the Highbury Squad. This is Kevin Says. It's the Lockdown Series, Volume 2, Episode 38. If you count the post-game shows, we're up to 50-something during this time, you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell here answering your questions. A 300-plus crowd in live chat. Hit that like button and subscribe if you're new. And if you don't like us, tell us why and we'll still be friends. Venkatesh here, Kev. We saw last season Arteta was trying to adapt his tactics. He tried to implement his style, but clearly players couldn't adapt to it. I don't know if he's talking about the 4-3-3 here, because we talked about that's the style he wants to play versus having the talent to do it. Do you think Arteta was a bit more stubborn, and maybe what Venkatesh is saying here, a bit more stubborn, and why it didn't work maybe?
No, I don't think so. And here's the reason why. Because I have a saying about the snapshots. You see a snapshot of what you want the team to do. And we've seen it. But the problem is, Sophie, we've seen it in one half. Mm-hmm. And we don't see it for 5 or 6 games or 7 or 8 games. Then we see another little snapshot of what it could look like. The slick passing, the way we are. We played Southampton, we look good. In the FA Cup game against Southampton, we're awful. See it in the league game against them. First half against Wolves, you see it. The movement, the way. We should have been out of sight after 20, 25 minutes. But we're not. So, again, we see the team slowly taking on the adaptation. Mm-hmm. But it's the consistency of the players to play it. We haven't seen that. And that comes with two things. Are experienced players not stepping up to the plate? Enough of them. And our young players leading the team.
Yeah. Here's something you and I have talked about often, and that is what we do when we don't have the ball. And we know some of the best teams are as ruthless or as effective when they don't have the ball, as they are when they do have the ball. Mark says, I was really impressed with the energy we showed without the ball against Leicester, especially from Laka and Pepe. I would agree with this. Do you think, in your question about Arteta and getting into the squad, do you think this is something that they've really worked on? Because it's definitely a mantra at City, and he was a big part of that Pep team and what they had done in the last couple of years.
I think it's an important part of what he wants to implement at Arsenal. Mm-hmm. This is essential in the way he wants to play. But do you know what? Sof, and this is the serious, serious thing. If you're going to play that way, you need energy and you need players with a tough mentality. Because you know what, Sophie? When you're tired, that's when you got to put the hard yards in. You know, you've got to do the hard yards. And unfortunately, we haven't seen enough of it from the team and our experienced players.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is what Mikel Arteta wants to implement. And I hope he's really ruthless this summer.
Yeah, I do. Listen, we were ruthless in January. They knew they had to get rid of those players. And I think that ruthlessness is going to continue. And we'll get to that in the next couple of questions. We'll finish on this one on the Arteta segment. Because you've talked about concentration. We talked about mental, making mistakes, giving up goals straight away. But the difference is that we have been able to bounce back. How do you think he's working on that initial 5, 10, 15 minutes of the game, Kev, where we've conceded or we concede, but the difference is we have bounced back. What's your thoughts on that mental attitude early on in the game?
Well, it's something that you need at Arsenal. Like I keep saying, you're going to get everybody's best when you play for the Arsenal. Everybody's. And you have to be on it. You haven't got time to be, oh, maybe I'll start learning this down the road. No, you have to be on it because everybody wants to beat you when you play for Arsenal. And especially when you're not doing so well, Sophie. When you're not doing so well, everybody wants to come to Arsenal. Oh, we'll take their scalp. Because to beat Arsenal's big. It's still big.
Mm-hmm. Look, I know that you like to answer the tough questions and the love-in questions as well. So I'm going to put this one up from Mr. J84J. Kevin, I respect and love you, but please quit this Arteta love fest and call him out. 11 wins and 11 draws. And you're talking about the positives of one game. Arteta out now. I'll just hand it right over to you.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about positives after one game.
No.
Mikel Arteta's been at the club a certain amount of time now. And like I keep saying, this is a 16-year problem has been in the club. 16 years. It's amazing. This is a culture issue. This is Arsenal Football Club not wanting to be the best.
It's not 11 draws even, is it? It's 11 wins, 10 losses, and
listen,
however many draws.
Listen, Sophie, whatever it is, this football club needs turning around. And we've questioned them when it comes to when the chips are down, they're weak sauce. They're not tough enough. Do they have the balls? And this is back-to-back games where we've been behind and they've shown up. So if we're going to have a go at them when they lose, we've got to back them when we win. So, you know, it's not this Arteta love fest. This is, I know Arteta has work to do. I know we are not the finished article. I know experienced players and this team are not in the position what we should be, but the season isn't over. So
right.
When we judge, best place we could judge is when we get to the end of the season, then we see where we are.
Right. And Gail, I'm not sure I've seen Gail in chat before. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Gail.
We love it when new listeners join. We need more players with the heart and passion of Kieran Tierney. Too many of our players go missing. Some players need to be sold. The likes of Xhaka and only Bellerin are just not good enough. Now, I think Xhaka is very much part of Arteta's plans, Kev, until we have a Bissouma or an answer to maybe a Partey. And with Partey having some injuries, Xhaka's not going anywhere. I do not believe we're selling Xhaka, but I do believe we'll listen to offers for Elneny and Bellerin.
One question. Is another question. Sorry, I've got to ask it. If we're going to challenge, is Granit Xhaka in the team?
For me, no. He's part
no,
of
not.
The squad.
Yeah,
right.
He's part of the squad. So, do you reckon Arteta doesn't know that? Arteta knows there's games where Granit Xhaka can play because he's going to have to rotate the squad. But you know and I know, Granit Xhaka is not going to be consistent to get you to a title. He's been at the club 5 years, Sophie.
Mm-hmm.
He's been at the club a long time and we haven't qualified for the Champions League once since he's been at the club. That tells us everything.
I agree.
That should tell us everything.
Yeah.
You
listen,
know? So,
we're 30 minutes in and I know we're on one, but the Arteta thing is like, he's got everyone in chat buzzing and so many questions. There's almost 400 people in chat right now, Kev. And there's,
I've got time for
there's
them.
Some, okay. There's some
I'm
great
ready
questions
for them tonight. I'm ready.
Because Don Giovanni, I wanted to throw this one at you. We always talk about Aubameyang and leadership. I feel like he's been leading more on the pitch now with his goals. And in the last two games, he's elevated himself. He's gone back to the old school Aubameyang from, you know, 2020. KC, do you think the captain can do more to make sure the players are at it and concentrated from the kickoff? You've been a captain. You were the first. And I'd love to say this. You were the first ever black captain of Everton Football Club. You were captained by Tony Adams. You were captain of the West Brom team that made the most incredible survival in the Premier League history on that survival Sunday, the Great Escape. How much weight does this have with what Don Giovanni's saying, Kev?
It all depends on what type of captain you are, to be honest, Sophie, because I think Aubameyang is the type of captain who he will say stuff in the dressing room. I'm sure about that. But I don't think, obviously, I don't think on the pitch he'll be the most vocal. And that's where you need the likes of a Granit Xhaka and David Luiz, etc., who can really, you know, try and go at certain players to get them moving. And I'm not saying Xhaka's a great at it. David Luiz would probably be better at it than him. But Aubameyang is the captain. And all season, we haven't really seen him until now. This is where it matters now. You know why, Sophie? Because these games are going to be so important moving forward now.
Yeah.
And we could afford to rest him. We could afford to rest our most important player, which is Saka, at the weekend. Absolutely brilliant. We could rest it. Because why? Because other players stepped up to the plate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. And there's someone in chat asking if we should change captains. I think the players love Aubameyang. I think you have Saka that posts a lot, my captain, and all that stuff. I think Lacazette deputizes well when he comes on as well, Kev. Would you change everyone? Tierney needs to earn his stripes a little bit more, I think. Aubameyang has played at the highest level for Dortmund. You know, he's done a lot in football. You know, since 2009, he's in that top 10 goal scoring list as well. I just think that it's premature to be talking about. When I see Kieran Tierney, let's make him captain right now, it kind of feels a little stop the madness, hold the mayo, right?
Well, what I will say to you, Sophie, I agree with I'm agreeing with you quite a bit today.
This is wrong. This is wrong on so many levels.
Right. But let me just tell you this about Kieran Tierney. Kieran Tierney needs to get his own game in order first before he even starts thinking of captain. Because there's certain times that his positioning ain't right. There's certain things that he needs. He needs to be consistent with his fitness as well.
He does.
Never mind. Well, what's the point in being captain if he's going to be on the sidelines? You know, we need a captain who's going to be ever present. And Aubameyang, for most of the time, is always fit.
Yeah. And there's a big difference between winning titles in Scotland and winning titles. No disrespect to the Premiership in Scotland, you guys. And I know that Kieran has been successful up there with Celtic and stuff. But come on, I think, you know.
Yeah, he has won titles. That's what we should say. He has won titles, but now he's in the big boy league.
He is, and do he does I mean. Need to stay fit, Kevin. I completely agree with you. There's same with Partey. You know, we won a Lord Partey. He's been amazing. We see, and you call it the Rolls Royce performance, even when he comes on for 20 minutes and stuff. But I think that we just need to hold the mayo on that. Right, look, guys, amazing questions and great feedback on Arteta.
Tristan Berry, he is. He could be a future captain. He could be a future captain, yes.
100%. Right. I've got my Indiana Jones look on today.
Love it,
I was thinking that Newman and Taib would hit that one right away, and Bernadette as well. So listen, we go Indiana Jones style. Kevin says, question two.
Right. Question number two. This should get the chat going. Do you think Mikel Arteta rates Gabriel Martinelli?
Oh, boy. You've asked for it now, Kev. You've asked for it now. Good evening to the 400 plus in live chat. Thanks for joining us here on the Highbury squad. The next question from Super Kev and Campbell is, do you think Mikel Arteta rates Gabriel Martinelli? I'm going to lead everybody off here.
I'm sure. That's why I asked it.
I do have the whip, Newman. Listen, if anyone can do... I don't know. Maybe that's a good. Kevin, I don't think he does. You're going to save your comments for the end, but he wasn't really playing in before the injury in when we went into lockdown. Emery gave Martinelli the chance. He's one of his signings, of course. I don't know what it is about not bringing him on in certain games, you know, giving him that 15, 20 minutes. There's something about it that just feels a little bit off. I know Saka will probably stay at the club for a while. ESR, it bothers me and it makes me very scared that a super talent that we bought for £8 million, like a Martinelli, who has shown us that he has that world-class potential and quality, is not being used even in the last minutes of games. So I'm going to just go to the listeners now because it's all about you and them. Stefan says big no. Tristan says no, and it makes me sad. Frazier says rates what? Rates him as a player, Frazier. That's the question. I mean, seriously. Here's what Lucky Satai says. I think he does, but he wants to develop him properly and give him the time as he's just come back from injury. Now, this just come back from injury, that was in December. It's now March. What do you think about that, Kev?
Well, I'm going to address a lot of this in my chat, but I want to say something about this. I think that's a really good point. And let me tell you why, Sophie. He played him, put him in, he done well for a couple of games. Then he started to tail off, I think it was the Brighton game. He kind of tailed off a little bit. And then we were playing a game at the Emirates, and then he pulled up in the warm-up. That was a massive scare for Mikel Arteta.
Do you think that changed everything, Kevin?
No, I just think it's a huge scare because of the length of time he was out. And remember, if we're honest, Sophie, we were a bit desperate at the time. You know, he was providing us massive energy because he's got this massive engine. He was doing really well. And then that happened and we thought, oh no, he's out for another long term. And that's why, speaking to Mikel Arteta at the Brighton game, he said, I've got to protect these youngsters. I have to protect them. And whether people agree with it or not, I understand, because players want to see Martinelli. But I just think there's times where we know there's games thick and fast coming up. Martinelli wants to play. He's hungry to play. But he's just giving him a bit more time. Because you know what, Sophie? This is what I would say. All it takes is one mistake and he's out. And then everyone's going to say, why didn't you just, you know, wrap him in cotton wool and keep him? And I know it's a tough decision to ask.
And you can say that about every player.
No, but Martinelli, me personally, Martinelli's is at the club long term. He's on a long term contract.
Let me jump in here, Kev. I want to, all things Arsenal. Is this an injury coming back issue, or is this a position issue? Because I think all things Arsenal brings up a really good point here. I think he sees him as a striker as opposed to playing behind or on the left, because he's versatile, isn't he? He can play
on the left. He's on the left. He's not a striker. At the moment, not a striker.
So you don't think Arteta sees him in that position?
Nope.
All right, let's look at Sunil's comment. Right now, is he better than Aubameyang? Is he better than Saka? Is he better than Pepe? He might be better than Willian, in my opinion. I believe we should be patient with Martinelli. What do you think about that?
No, that's a really good point, Sunil, to be honest. I just think, again, here we are putting all this pressure on a young 19, 20-year-old kid. And if we're honest, he hasn't even played half a season. Does he have the talent? Of course he has the talent, Sophie. I agree. He does have big talent. But you know what? He's gonna be a mainstay in the squad for a long time. And you know what as well, Sophie? Maybe Arteta don't trust the players around him to make him look good enough. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't trust them enough yet. to stick Martinelli in so we can get the best out of him.
A lot of people in this is what I worry about, Tristan, and Kevin says he's not going anywhere, but I just feel like sometimes whether they might make the right decision or not, they want to play, right? And, you know, agents talk. I do think maybe Kev's convinced me that he's here at Arsenal for the long term and he's going to wait his chance. But there are a lot of people in chat, Kev, who are talking about training, but there's also a lot of people, and Fraser's comment here is very indicative of quite a few of the squaddies in chat asking this question. Jack Wilshere did an interview just this week, and we all read it, where he pushed himself and he didn't listen to the physios. And this is something maybe that Arsenal Football Club are learning from in terms of the past, with we had to push players because there were times where we didn't have a deep enough squad or good enough players to come in. Kev, what do you think about what Fraser's saying?
Great point. And actually, that was going to be the body of a lot of what I said at the end. Fans want to see the best players and players that they like. I get it. But when you're actually inside the club, you have to look after these youngsters, because I'm telling you, could you imagine if Arsene Wenger would have kept Jack Wilshere out for a third of those games that he did play, he probably could have still been at the club, captain, producing now. You know, we got to look at the long term. We just think quick, now. No, let's look at the long term. He's a young lad, hasn't even played half a season. So let's be a little bit cute with him and make sure he gets himself fit, fully fit, and let's trust the club in keeping him that way, because we don't want him to break down.
Yeah, someone just said, Glenn, he's going to replace Ober and we'll take the 14 from him. There has to be a succession plan. This is something that Arsenal never look at, right, Kev? We've always kind of been an in-the-moment club. Wenger was definitely a proponent of wanting to prove young players could do it. But then I want to follow this up with another comment from one of our listeners who I think made a really great comment about how Pep has managed Phil Foden and maybe Arteta is taking on the Phil Foden model in terms of how Pep has managed him. Can you maybe talk through that a little bit and how there's some credence to that?
Yeah, look, again, when you've got a young player who's got immense talent, it can go one of either two ways. Great point just made about Michael Owen.
Yes.
Playing young, playing unbelievably well when he was young, and then as he starts to get not even old, then as he starts to get 24, 25, the injuries start to come.
The hammy went, didn't it?
Hamstrings, body. Remember, when you're young, your body, you've got to give yourself a chance for the body to get stronger and adjust. But if you keep playing them, look, they're playing against men, and it's a big ask. So we move on to the Phil Foden and Pep Guardiola, and everybody was saying, "Now Phil Foden, he's going to have to go on loan. He's going to have to do this. He's going to have to do that." No,
or leave. Even some people were saying he's got to leave City.
Exactly.
To have a career.
Exactly. But what
did Pep, Stuart? Thank you, Stuart.
What did Pep do? Pep said, "Look, we know our training's right. We know our quality's right. He's going to have to pick up the culture as he goes along with this team. We'll play him sparingly." But the succession plan was David Silva. David Silva, Phil Foden. When David Silva is time to leave, Phil Foden, you should be ready. And we're seeing it. Phil Foden is ready to step in that team now. And he's a quality player, quality young player. So that's what we have to do with Gabby. I think there is I think Aubameyang has been played through the middle solely because we needed to get him going, which is one. And I think there might be a change of Lacazette.
I think Lacazette's up for grabs this summer, Kev.
Yeah, I think so too. But what does that do? That creates a space on the left.
And who's going to fill that void? Someone like Martinelli.
So Gabby can. So there's times where Gabby can play on the left.
So you got Gabby, you know what I mean? Ober, Pepe on the right, or Saka on the right. You got Pepe you on the left. You're going to mix and match.
Yes.
Yeah. Mr. PKA, thanks for finding us. First timer. Everyone, welcome, PKA. Welcome to the Squaddy Universe here.
Mr. PKA, and- welcome.
And good evening to all 444 of you. Let's play the lottery. We've got 444 in live chat, Kevin.
Love it.
Get to the last question. This is brilliant stuff. Well done, you guys. Some fantastic questions and comments as per usual. I love our chat room and how it's just so well balanced. Football conversations from folks from all corners of the earth. And of course, at the end of the show, you're going to let us know where you guys are at right now in the world. Okay, here's the bonus question. Now, this one, okay, there might be some hot takes on this one. Let's go.
Question number 3 and the bonus. This should get you going. Willian and Pepe. Did we see what's to come from these two players? Because it makes a big difference having two players wide who play well. We don't really see it many times. We usually have one. But when two of our wide players play well, we function as a team. So what's your thoughts on these two players? I'm not saying they're world beaters. But when they functioned and played well, you know, we looked dangerous. Anyway, so number 1 is Mikel Arteta getting a grip of the team. Number 2, does Mikel Arteta rate Gabriel Martinelli in your eyes? And number 3, Willian and Pepe. Did we see what the future brings? Anyway. I look forward to engaging with you in the chat. Take good care now. Bye-bye.
It's a very interesting question, Kev, because I think this is one of the biggest, as well as our creative role and and whether or not we have that yet, whether it's ESR or Udegaard or whether we still need an Usim Hour to come in. I think we all agree, and it's been a long conversation about Partey having the right partner when he's fit, like a Bissouma. I think we all know we need a right back, but all of a sudden it's kind of the right and the left of that attack has become this, well, who plays there? Who fits there? What's the perfect combination? You know, against Leicester, we made 6 changes, as I said, and here we are. We won the game 3-1 and completely dominated it. I'm just going to go to the comments here. Tristan, Willian looks like he finally is finding form and Pepe with that hand tape is next level. Would you agree that Pepe in particular shines when he plays with Cedric? He doesn't have to worry so much about his defensive duties, even though he does track back. He even played better with Maitland-Niles, Kev. And he suffers when he plays with Bellerin.
Yep, it can be seen that way for sure. And look, the numbers don't lie. Cedric is a very experienced player. And he knows how to play with Pepe. He knows. He doesn't crowd him. He gives him the ball when he needs it. And I think he's a good communicator to control where he is and when he does get back, etc. And we need our wide players playing well. But you made a really good point. Cedric does tend to enhance Pepe, whether it's right back or left back.
Okay, so I'm going to put all the comments up because they're coming in thick and fast. Ayan, thanks for joining us. From Pepe, maybe yes. Willian needs to be sold in the summer. It has not worked. FLA series, if both Willian and Pepe play well, you bench them for Saka? Saka's got a start, Kev. That's the pickle.
Yeah, but here's the great thing. Sophie, this is the great thing. When everybody's playing well, that's when you could mix and match. We were talking before about, you know, resting Saka because we don't want to burn him out. So the only reason we could keep him on the sideline and give him a rest is if the boys in the team are playing well. That allows you to rest players. But if they're not doing the business, then Saka, like we've seen all seasons, had to play and play and play and play, and then we'll burn him out.
Let's go to Tashi here. Willian needs to be brave on the ball, his confidence, whereas Arteta needs to play Cedric behind him who can overlap. So, again, we agree with that. A question from Virginia. Do you think Pepe has been doing well recently, maybe because he's been the main guy like the Leicester game when Oba is not on the pitch? I think this is a really great point. I actually think he rose to the occasion and it felt like he was told, you're the man in this match. You go out and make it happen. Sometimes players rise to that occasion, Kevin. Sometimes players, like you said, the badge waits on them, but so does playing with certain players weigh on them. What do you think about what Virginia is saying here?
Well, listen, it's a good observation. I can't 100% say that's the case. Because we've seen Pepe play some good games of late. And there was a time where, obviously, I think it was the first Benfica game. Sorry, it was the Leeds game where he got kind of dropped and everyone was like, where's Pepe? Why isn't he playing? But Mikel Arteta shuffled a pack and got the right result against Leeds, etc. I just think Pepe has a confidence problem at times because we've seen Pepe operate on the right. And he'd been in and out. His form wasn't great. Then he moved to the left and he looked a lot more comfortable, didn't he? You know, he looked a lot more comfortable, a lot more direct, scored a few goals, were looking sharp and the team were playing well. Obviously, he wasn't in the team. The team went on to win certain games. So I just think it isn't, or it shouldn't be, the matter of Pepe, you're the man. It should be, you're in the team today, do your thing. Do your thing, because he's got the talent.
Do you think Arteta trusts him now? Because that's the questions coming in for you from a lot of folks, Kev. Do you think Arteta? Because I don't think he trusted him before.
Yeah, I think he trusts him more now because he's been more consistent, Sophie. At the end of the day, it's all about consistency. You know, in any line of work, if what you do, Sophie, if you've got a team member who isn't pulling their weight, you're going to have to get them to pull their weight because everybody can't pick up the slack for that person. That person's got to pull their weight. Of late, we've seen Pepe doing it. We've seen him playing well. Now, Willian has turned up to the party finally with a couple of decent performances. And we know spring don't make a summer, but we will take some consistency off these guys. It's important.
Here's one for you from Ian. Pepe's making the right moves and will rise, but I'm not sure about Willian. We need to see a lot more from Willian. For me, it's got to be Saka and Pepe with Pepe on the left. I agree with this wholeheartedly in the sense that Pepe's been on this run. He got benched after playing well for 4 or 5 games, Kev. Gets benched, comes back, smashes it again against Leicester, who have been second in the league. I mean, let's stop this whole they had injury stuff.
Oh, they could have gone second winning, right? Beating us. Yeah.
So I agree with Ian in the sense that for me, when you got to rest Saka in certain games, but Saka's always going to be, other than Tierney when he's fit, one of the first players on the team sheet. You got Partey, Saka, Tierney, Aubameyang, of course, I think has to play because he can get, I know he's been through this drought and he suffered a lot this season.
I think if Smith Rowe's fit, he plays as well. I tell you, if he's fit, he plays.
Are you worried that he's a little bit broken, Kev?
No, I think he's young. And this is the thing you see, Sophie. These boys are young. It's very demanding. There's a game every three or four days, although there's a break this week, which is great. You know, these guys have been playing a lot of football. And when you're young and you're not used to it, because there's travel, there's all sorts, how do you recover? You've got to get into a routine. As a pro, you get into a routine about it. And Smith Rowe has picked up little niggles. I'm not sure how bad it is, but this is something we've got to be very careful of because we start burning out these young boys. the experienced players haven't proven to be consistent that they can carry us. That's right. The problem.
Here's a double-barreled comment. I'm going to put Joseph and BWA's comment up. So would you drop Pepe or Willian for versus Burnley for Saka? And then Joseph asks, would you rest Saka again this weekend? Tottenham spanked Burnley, but as we know, Burnley are also the type of team that can bounce back. You never know what you're going to get with them, to be honest with you. What would you do, Kevin, considering though the team that played against Leicester? Do we keep the same team? What would you do?
No, it changes. You bring your boys back. Mm-hmm. You bring Aubameyang back in. You bring Saka back in. And, you know, Willian done well. Pepe done well. So you take your pick, either or. I think Pepe would start and Willian will be on the bench.
Okay, here we go. Let's see. Carl, Pepe had a great end to last season with the FA Cup. Not sure why he's been benched so much this season. Pepe has the potential to be a striker. He has an eye for goal. I'm not sure. He likes to come in off the flanks. He's not a striker. I don't think he has. He's not a striker, is he, Kev? I think he's got to come in off the wing, because what he did against Leicester, Kevin, was he caused them so many problems. He got how many free kicks? I lost count how many free kicks he got in that game. And I think he was the player that we've all wanted to see against Leicester. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. Yeah. He was excellent. Yeah.
Mark asks, guys, do you think Arteta should continue to manage and limit the game time for Saka, Oba, and ESI in the Premier League whilst we still have a chance in the Europa League? How would you balance that, Kev?
Well, again, it's all about the squad and it's all about performances. Because at the end of the day, Sophie, we've seen it when he has done that. He's been criticised. When he's changed it, when he's rested certain players, when there's a couple of niggles in the squad and he's left players out, the fan base went mad in the FA Cup, saying, you know, you threw the FA Cup away, but he has to juggle the squad. It's a lot easier when other players in the squad are performing, because when you take one out and you put the other one in, there ain't much drop-off. But in the FA Cup, when he made the change, there was a drop-off that hit the floor. So... It's difficult sometimes, and as long as the experienced players are playing well, we've got a chance.
Alex, I think Pepe's done well because he simplified his game. I think, and I agree with Alex to some degree, the criticism I had of him was too much trying to be flash, too much trying to do what you did in Liga, which is not a farmer's league at all, you guys, and it's still very competitive, but the step overs and stuff, he used to dwindle on the ball a bit and maybe not release it quick enough. Mm-hmm. Maybe that part I would have to submit to it being about coaching, Kevin.
And you know something? You know something that I learned is there's one player at the club who does the most work after training. And that's Nicola Pepe.
That's interesting.
One-on-one with the manager, explaining what he wants, working at positioning, receiving, all of the above. And now we're starting to see Pepe start to look like a more consistent player.
Mm.
And hard work pays off, Sophie. It really does pay off.
Okay, so this is the thing. This is what Lampard used to do. This is what Beckham used to do. The reason why Lampard became the greatest scorer for Chelsea and one of the best goal scorers in the Premier League, and the reason why Beckham became prolific at free kicks, is they stayed after everyone in training and practice. I did not know that about Pepe, Kev. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of Arsenal fans know that about him, because they consider him to be lazy.
Yeah, they won't know that. But you see, the manager, the manager knows his potential. So if the manager knows his potential, he's going to work with him. He is going to work with him, because I'm telling you, you get Pepe firing, he is a devastating weapon to have against any team.
And all of this talk about selling Pepe, that's not happening. Arsenal Football Club are vested in this guy making it work. Are they not, Kev?
Yeah, I can't see it. Honestly, I can't see it. And the reason why I can't see it is because the manager and Pepe are working at his game, and we're starting to see shoots of progress.
And look, everyone's appreciating these comments. Great insight, Casey. These are some of the things that sometimes we don't hear or know about. People mm-hmm. impressed that he's doing and putting in the extra work. And to be honest with you, in the last five or six games that he started, it has shown and shown greatly. There is a question that I'd like to get back to from someone here, because I want to throw it at you based on the fact that you're talking about Willian, we talked about Pepe, we're talking about the trust in the squad from the manager as well. Mm-hmm. And it's so busy up here, almost 500 of you in chat. Thanks so much for joining us tonight, guys. Hit that like button if you dig us. How can you not? We've got Super Kevin Campbell in the house tonight.
Hit the like or else we're broke the neck. Boom!
I guess someone was asking, let's just say this was the Europa League final tomorrow. Who are you starting? Is it Willian, Pepe, Saka, no, Oba, Laka?
Oba will start. Saka will be on the right. And probably Pepe might be on the left. That's what I think.
Pepe left, Oba middle, Saka right. Mm-hmm. ESR behind them.
I think if Smith Rowe is fit, Smith Rowe will play.
Do you play him and Martin together?
No.
Do you think they've been ineffective together, Kev?
No, I don't. I think they've been fine.
Yeah.
I think what we're expecting is both of them to catch fire together, but they complement each other because Odegaard is such a clever footballer. He plays so simply, but he's so effective.
Yeah.
You know, he does. He plays so simply, but so effective. But he's somebody I would be bringing on from the bench. Because I like Smith Rowe's running power and I like his one-touch play in and around the box.
He's very talented. The ball sticks to his feet. He's just one of those players. Kev, love you guys. Don't break the neck, though. I mean, we're always going to break the neck. Ruthless.
Break the neck.
Right, Kev, let's get your answers now. You're listening to Kevin Says. He's three questions and topics for you each week. Love connecting you guys where you ask all the questions and Kev answers them. Kev, your first question.
About Mikel Arteta getting a grip
of this squad. Is it that time?
You know the truth, Sophie. I truly believe Mikel Arteta read the team the riot act going into the Benfica game. Because if we're honest, it was make or break for us. Mm-hmm. Now, we just got over the line, which was great. But look at how we performed. You know, we started the game fine, took the lead, and then we commit Harry Carey. We give away virtually two goals, although the free kick was great. But the second goal just hands them the tie, really. And, you know, we had to fight fire with fire. Mikel Arteta had to make some adjustments. He made them and we got over the line. And obviously to train six players, Sophie.
That's huge.
He changed six players against Southampton, remember? And look what happened.
Yeah.
The team didn't perform.
I said to you, I said there's something about that game against Benfica where he's going to galvanize the team and they will make it happen. And we believed, didn't we, Kevin?
Yeah, we did.
Yep.
We did. We did believe. We believe that, listen, we believe that when the chips are down, normally the boys don't turn up. But this was, excuse my French, this was shit or bust.
Yeah.
For us.
Shit or get off the pot.
No, well, if we lose, we're done. The season's over.
And the confidence would dip. And who knows what we do in the Premier League after that, right?
Who knows what that Leicester result could have been if we'd got beat. But we didn't. We stuck at it. The key is being in the hat for the next round. We got in the hat. Then we saw the bounce, which we wanted. Change six players come in. and we had the energy to come back from a goal down and convincingly beat a Leicester team at their own place. So
completely,
you know, it's great. So for me, he has got a grip on them. He's got a grip on their heart. He's got a grip on their head and the mentality. Now we're going to have to see consistency.
Yep. All right. Your second question. Does Arteta rate Martinelli?
I honestly think he does rate Martinelli, Gabby. But I think he's going to really look after him this season, especially this season. And I know fans don't want to hear that, you know, he was injured, etc. But he's had a couple of scares. And the manager is not going to take a risk with him. What's the point in taking a risk with a great young player that we've got? He's got a big future ahead of him. Because you know what? If he starts breaking down again, that's the cycle. We've seen the cycle too many times, Sophie, haven't we?
We have.
Young player gets injured, comes back, breaks down, plays a few games, breaks down. We don't want that. Let him get some training and traveling and fitness behind him, and then we'll unleash him. I'd love to see us unleash him against the Spurs.
Oh.
They won't be ready for him.
I like this very much, Super Kev in Campbell.
Energy, pure energy. Boom! Pure energy against them.
And you know what? Against that back line right now, yes. And Willian coming off the bench to get the winner, maybe. Who knows? I asked the question last night on the show, if he scores the winner in the NLD, Kev, does he become an instant cult hero? Some people were having it, some people were not.
Listen, and you know what? It's fair because he played for the Blue Mob, didn't he? He played for the Blue Mob.
That's why.
So some ain't going to have him. That's some ain't going to have him. And listen, I understand. I like that. Unleash the Kraken. Unleash it.
You've got everyone cracking now, Kev.
Unleash the Kraken. Crack them up.
All right, your third question, Willian and Pepe. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts on these two are quite in contrast, because I know Pepe's been doing the work in the background, and it's interesting to see the way he's starting to play and his consistency level is starting to get there, Sophie.
Yeah.
You know, just unassuming, but, you know, he's starting to get there, and you start to say, you know, Pepe should be starting. When he weren't starting against Leeds, everyone was like, Pepe should be starting. But that's testimony to him and the manager and the coaching staff who are working with him in the background. And don't forget, Arteta made a massive difference to Raheem Sterling.
He did. And Raheem said that on the Amazon documentary too. He talked about it in other interviews as well.
The one thing you have to do, you have to be open and you have to be happy to do the work. And it seems like Pepe is happy to do the work, which, do you know what? I'll take my hat off to him.
we'll tip our hats off at the Hydra squad.
Because you know what, Sophie? It's not easy when you're a professional.
No.
And the manager, you think you know it all and the manager wants to improve you. Sometimes players might take it as a slight. But Pepe's doing the hard work. So, you know what? I take my hat off to him. And on the flip side of this, Willian's had dog's abuse. He's had dog's abuse.
Oh, it's been bad.
It would be easy for him to kind of go, do you know what? Jack this. Why should I? Why should I play for these guys? They're being disrespectful to me, you know, my family, etc. Blah, 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 blah. But one thing I will tell you, Soph, it shows that he's got some balls.
Yes.
And you know what? Fair enough, coming on against Benfica, fans were like, what are you bringing Willian on for? And then when he done all right, they were like, all right, he done all right. But when they found out he was starting against Leicester,
he lost their minds.
People were like, what's he doing? Martinelli's there. But you've got to hold your hands up. He did perform. He played well. He's the highest assist at the club.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, I ate crow because, listen, I did say at the beginning of the Leicester game, Kevin, that let's not lose our marbles before the game's even started. Let the team that he's selected play the game before you lose your minds. Yeah. And then after the game, if we get bitch slapped, then go right ahead. And
you can go for it.
But it worked, right? And you got to give credit where it's due. Your criticism, your praise has to be as loud as your criticism.
Have the same energy of your criticism.
Yes.
Have it with the praise. And I've got to give him praise, Sophie, because let me tell you something. It's not easy being criticized left, right and center and then coming and he was man of the match.
Yeah. I mean, look what's happening, Kev. I mean, I think, is it true that Emile Smith Rowe deleted his Twitter account because he was getting abuse? I don't know if that's true, and we'll check into it.
But I don't know.
I hope that's not the case. Can you imagine a young player like Smith Rowe doing that? And maybe we'll look into it a little bit more, but I'm not sure if what I read online was true or not. But here's the scoop. Sometimes I don't think we realize we don't like to be bullied. I don't like to be bullied in my life. You know, players, this is what I like about, as critical as I've been of Pepe and Willian, the fact they both overcame adversity and performed the way they did against Leicester and have done, especially Pepe in his last five or six starts and Willian since Benfica, you've got to give them credit. It's not easy to be in the spotlight of the world. It's not just in England people are watching these guys play. It's global.
Big time.
You've been there, Kev.
And you know what else as well, Sophie? This is what people must understand. They're human beings just like us. You know, even if you stay away from social media, people are quick to tell you about what's going on social media. You're getting battered on social media. This is because that's the way the world is. People are quick to bring the bad news first.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what?
They like when a car crash, don't they, Kev?
Exactly. You know, the rubberneckers are always looking. But when they do well, let's give them the praise that they deserve. Let's give Willian the praise.
This is a good report. If ESR's comment is still there, then that makes me really happy because we can't do that, especially to our younger players who are the future of the club. I mean, shameful if people are doing that. So, I agree with you. Great responses, Kev. Brilliant. Absolutely great. What do you think about Kevin Says tonight? How did the squaddies do?
Squaddies. Oh, listen, I'm loving you squaddies, man. We need to get some merch.
We are. I told them I'm working on it. So we're definitely getting some merch and a brilliant show tonight. And as everybody knows, we have a fantastic sponsor of the show, Football Prizes. Get your tickets now to win this Kieran Tierney signed and framed Arsenal shirt. Put in squad 10, you get 10% off. Anyone who bought a ticket before we announce the 10%, we will honor that on the next one. We do one every single week. I think they could do a Kieran Tierney shirt every week and fans wouldn't get bored right now. What do you think, Kev?
Very true. Right to the end of the season.
Right to the end of the season. So, listen, 500 plus in chat tonight. I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. We're a brilliant show because you guys help us make it a brilliant show. What do you think, Kev?
Sophie, I think he's great, but I've got a question for you.
Oh,
I've got a question for you, Soph. Sophie, how did you feel after seeing the team go a goal down and then win 3-1?
Let me tell you, as I said, when the it's the second time I've done that on the show. Newman's going to call me out again.
We have been that bad. Yeah, we have been that bad.
Shit and Arsenal go together or have done in the past, right? When they announced the team, I took a deep breath because it was quite drastic in the changes, okay? But I also have been trying to be a bit more positive about what's happening. Right? Mm-hmm. Don't think the sky is falling. Wait until we play the game before you rip the manager and the players before kickoff has even happened. Right? Mm-hmm. And I was really kind of proud of myself in the sense that I put that tweet out there and said, hold the mayo and the mustard before you kill everybody. Mm-hmm. After the first goal went in, There was a tweet that came back to bite me in the arse, and I'm not going to lie. And you know me, I'll eat my humble pie, right, Kev? Yeah. I said, do you think this Leicester team is scared of this Arsenal side one bit?
So, hey, listen, so you set it up for us. So you set it up. You
I mean, I think we won because of my tweet.
You set it up.
So I, as you can imagine, people came at me for that, and rightly so. But, and then the goal, when it went in, I was like, this is schoolboy defending. It's absolute bollocks. Like, come on, you're pushing back, pushing back, pushing back. And I think my comment was, if they track back anymore, they'd end up back in London, you know, from Leicester. Yeah. But what I loved is what we haven't been able to do. And there was a little bit of that in the Unaia squad, in the, we were second half Arsenal when Unaia was manager, right? Terrible in the first half. We were able to find a gear in the second half and score goals, even though we conceded a lot of goals as well. What I love about football is trends and progress and momentum. To come back against Benfica in Europe and need two goals, I don't know if people know how hard that is to do, especially when your home game is in Greece.
Yeah, true.
Without your fans, right? So that was huge. And then Leicester have been lauded, Kev. They're darlings. Them and Spurs, for some reason, get a pass all the time. Jamie Vardy, Mari and Luiz had him in his back pocket. He did nothing in that game. He had no chance whatsoever. And don't give me that Maddison wasn't playing. They still had really good players on that pitch. And this team has been talked about. Maybe they could have been challenging City or Liverpool for the title this year. Brendan Rodgers, he could manage Barcelona. He could go to any big club and do great. So for me to be able to come back and face adversity, the mental impotence, I've said that for a few years now, this Arsenal Football Club, their culture, their DNA, it's not trained to have that mental strength. And to come back two games in a row from behind, I have criticized Arteta, but I have given him and the players huge credit for being able to do that.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah. I mean, look, for me, the response after going a goal down, I thought was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really thought to myself, let's see what you're made of now. Let's see what you're made of.
Exactly.
They responded, and the way they pulled the game back was excellent. And to go in 2-1 up was fantastic. And if you notice the second half, Leicester started to press a lot higher up the pitch.
They did. And they really challenged us in that second half.
They challenged us. But that's how we scored the third, because we beat the press through Lacazette. Lacazette got hold of the ball, turned. Xhaka broke, passed it to Pepe, and then we were off. Everybody got the use of it, and then Pepe stuck it in just before the line. Brilliant. That killed the game. And our game management after that was superb, I thought.
Do you know what, Kev? The other thing too, we came back without Gabriel, Partey, Saka, and Aubameyang on the pitch.
Yeah. Yep.
To me, that was the biggest deal of all.
100%. 100%.
So, you know, now here's the scoop. This is what I've said, and you know it. Consistency in the Premier League, doing it game after game after game. You know, you don't have to win every game, draw one here and there. But now we've got to go and play Burnley and get a result, Kev.
Got to beat them. Burnley, we got to beat.
We do have to beat them.
We got to beat them. They beat us at the Emirates, remember?
They
Aubameyang
did.
Own goal. Aubameyang, it's your time now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, brilliant show, Super Kev. We're going to be back tomorrow night for our midweek show. We wanted to squeeze in case Kevin says tonight, because there was so much to talk about after the weekend's game and we missed Kev on Monday. So we'll be back tomorrow night. I think we're going to do our current best 11 based on what we know. Going into the game or at the weekend as well. Thanks to everyone who's joined us in chat. You guys rock. We couldn't do the show without you. Don't forget to go to footballprizes.co.uk to get your ticket for Kieran Tierney. We're going to give away a free ticket on Thursday as well. Our fan forum is Friday. So if you want to participate in that and be on the show and in the squad with us, send us an email, thehighburysquad@gmail.com. Kev, you smashed it. Brilliant stuff.
Listen, everyone, thanks to Sophie. She's always doing such a great job. And there's one legend on there, and that's her. Let me tell you. Listen, you know, Arsenal started to turn a corner, and we're happy about it. Come on, you Gunners.